Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast with NBA shooting coach Dave Love and your host, Matt Robertson. Exploring the cutting edge of evidence-based shooting development in basketball today. From shooting form to skill acquisition to shot metrics. This is the Coach Dave Love Podcast.
Welcome to the Coach Dave Love Podcast. I am your host, Matt Robertson, and with me, as always, NBA shooting coach Dave Love. Dave, what's going on?
Matt, how's your sleeping habit going? Like, what's going on with the fatherhood? Give me a 30-second update.
Today is a really, really good or bad day to ask that question, as we had the 1 a.m. bedtime, the 4 a.m. wake up, and then the 8 a.m. wake up. So staying hot. How about you, man? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm nothing too much to report. Learning every day and excited to chat with somebody that I haven't been able to chat with for a little while. So want to get right into this one.
Awesome. I'm going to introduce Sam Froehling. Dave, you and Sam work together for a stretch on the other side of the world tomorrow, as it were. Let's get into it. Sam, how's it going today?
Yeah, it's been good. I'm a little chilly right now, but I'm good.
So in the pre-show, go ahead, Dave.
Sam, tell everybody kind of where you're playing, where you have over the last couple of years, and let's start us off with that. Where are you now? Where did you go to college? Take us through that journey.
So I'm currently playing for the Taranaki Airs in the New Zealand NBL, and I've been in Illawarra for the last 5 years in the Australian NBL. I had a little stint in Japan last year with Lavanga Hokkaido, and I went to Creighton for 1 year.
Played for Greg McDermott at Creighton, very cool. And Japanese B League is no joke, man. That's to be a foreign player in that league is very impressive.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And it's a league I probably want to get back to eventually.
Yeah, I have a buddy playing in that league right now who played in Moncton, where I live, tiny little town in the NBL Canada about a decade ago. And he went on to much bigger and much better things. And he plays in, actually, isn't the 2B this year, and they just advanced to the championship, so they get promoted to B1, which is a huge deal for his team, the Koshigawa Alphas, the Alphas. I can't remember what the city is called. I apologize.
Yeah, that's I think he'll be playing against an Aussie guy playing on the other team that qualified for B1, Shiga Lakes, Brock Modem.
I will ask him. Very cool. It's such a small one of my favorite things when I was kind of going through your Wikipedia, and I hope that it's all real, or I hope it's all true, but we just live in such a small basketball world, right? Like, it's obviously the world is big, but these communities are so small.
Yeah, it's nuts. It's someone knows someone you know almost everywhere you go.
It's very cool. You also come from, like, a really interesting, like, it was kind of set that you were going to play basketball, right? Your family, like, a full family affair basketball-wise?
Big basketball family. But, you know, it was no pressure from my parents, who both played professionally, to be a basketball player. You know, I was actually a better Australian rules footballer when I was growing up. Oh. And they were both happy for me to do that if I wanted to, but I ended up falling in love with basketball a bit more, and that's just kind of where I went and where I am now. Just followed that dream.
It's very cool. Being a 7-footer playing Aussie rules football, I imagine not a great situation.
You know, there's some big boys. There's a Mason Cox, is an American guy that's come over a couple of years ago. He's about 6'10", and he's not a bad player. So there's room for it.
Sam, for the North Americans, can you explain the quality of the NBL and what a comparison talent-wise would be?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really high-level league, and over probably the last 10 years, it's gone to a whole nother level. And you see guys we're getting in as imports all a lot ex-NBA guys or really fringe NBA guys. For example, we had Gary Clark on our team this year, who had a number of years in the NBA, and he ended up having a really good year with us. And almost every team has one or two guys like that. And then Australian basketball is going to a whole nother level too. So all the local guys we have are really starting to cement themselves across the world. And I think it's a credit to the NBL that, you know, back in the day, those high-level local guys, we'd lose to Europe, to Japan, to Asia. But now we're starting to retain a lot of them in Australia, and the product's just kind of boom.
It's very cool. And again, sort of a armchair watcher of Australian basketball. I mean, you guys have produced so many great NBA players. I have a two-part question for you. One, is there one specific Australian player that you really looked up to growing up? And two, and Dave knows what's coming, what is your, I've never seen you play before, what's your NBA archetype? Like, who's a guy that you're like, oh, that guy plays exactly like I do, or shades of this guy and that guy?
The guy I looked up to, I was actually really lucky my first year in the Australian NBL to play on his team, was a guy named Dave Anderson, who had a storied career throughout Europe. He won an unreal amount of championships. He won like 22 championships or something over his career. He's arguably Australia's most successful basketball player ever in terms of championships. And my first year, you know, I always looked up to him. He was kind of a bit like me, like a skinnier, moved well, could handle the ball, could really shoot it, but played out of the block. His post fade was unreal. And, you know, I always watched him and was like, that's a guy I want to be like. And then my first year in the NBL, I was lucky enough to be on his team. And, you know, I was really nervous meeting him for the first time. And I'm in the supermarket and I see him and he's just like, ah, Sammy, comes over, gives me a big hug. He's like, you and some of the other young boys come around, help me build my furniture. And we'll get a carton of beers. And, you know, my first experience with this guy, I go over to his house, helping him build his IKEA furniture. We're having a few drinks and he's just the best guy in the world. He gets us dinner and I was like, that was a really cool moment for me. This guy I've kind of idolized to play with. And then the first experience I've had with him, all he's doing is looking after me and getting me to build his furniture. It was actually pretty smart for him.
But, oh, I love that.
And for NBA archetype, I mean, I think one I've got a little bit is a Sabonis type, handle the ball a little bit, bring it up the floor, can play out of the block, pick and roll, and I like to facilitate a little bit. That's probably the one that's most, I think I'm a bit unique compared to a lot of, I'm not your typical five that just goes in and bangs or catches lobs. I'm not the most athletic guy in the world. And then I think I move really well for a five man and can slide down to that four spot, but then I'm kind of too big for the fours to guard. So I think I'm in a really nice little niche, and that's the next step. And part of what I've been working with Dave with has been getting my shot right to kind of really exploit that.
It's very cool and cool to hear you describe yourself, because I know a bit about the Japanese B League and you have to be a bit of a unique big to kind of survive there, right? It's all, I mean, all fringe NBA guys, also previous NBA guys, guys that are skilled, guys that can face up. Like it's a really good mix. That's very cool.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of guys over there are really good, super strong, big posts. And then I think the guys you generally see have a lot of success over there are the ones that can move really well, that are maybe a little smaller, but it's hard because you can't chuck the five men on them because they're too quick. And then you can't chuck the smaller Japanese guys on them because they're too big and strong.
I like Sam, that. can you take people through how you remember us getting connected? Like what you, from your perspective, how that went down?
Yeah, so I remember our assistant coach at the time, Paul Mallett, said to me, he's got this guy he's worked with before, the shooting coach that he thought could really help me. And he was coming in a month or so to Wollongong where we were. And, you know, we're kind of talking about it, just getting it ready. And then one day I forgot that you were coming in and I walk in the stadium and Dave was there. And we just got, you know, might've been 20 minutes of work in before our training session. Then you were there for a couple of days, and just before each day we did a bit of work, and then it just you went back home or went and did the rest of your camps, and it became a texting thing where, you know, I'd take videos, send it through to him. And then last off season, I ended up going over to America for a bit, and we were together for about a week.
That's cool.
What was it, Sam, in that I think it was only one day that we spent together in Wollongong, in the gong, as they say. And so what was it that got your attention enough that you were curious, that you were curious enough to come over halfway across the planet to spend a little time?
I mean, when you've done 40 minutes of work and my shots start going in way more than they normally do, that was a pretty good indication that you knew what you were doing. So that was kind of the kickstart of it. And then just, I mean, my relationship with you, just, you know, I would send you text videos of 2 minutes of me shooting. And, you know, I remember getting videos back from you kind of showing me charts of what I do, where I should, like, tracking the ball. You'd draw on yourself and my shooting videos, and that kind of commitment for me was like, yeah, this guy, he knows what he's doing and he wants to help, which is pretty big time.
It's the technology has just enabled so much, you know, it's really changed the way that we can train and we can, you know, connect with people. It's really incredible. I'm curious though, so you didn't know, you forgot that he was coming. Dave walks in. How is that first interaction? Like, can you walk me through that? I've never seen Dave in a first interaction with a player, and I'm so curious what this looks like.
It's a lot of yelling. I mostly just yell at them until they cry.
That's right. Baby run every mission.
No. Do you even remember? Like, it was 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think so. Is that right? I mean, Dave's a nice guy. I remember walking in, Paul introduced us. I think might have chatted for a bit, and then we're pretty much on court.
Cool.
Yeah. From what I remember, yeah, it was a bit of chit chat. And then, like, we didn't have a lot of time before practice would have started, or if we met after practice, like, with professionals, you're on the court so much. I try and be mindful of time and not take up too much of it, especially when we're just getting to know each other. But would have tried to show you the things that I thought were holding you back a little bit, and then put you in a position to kind of learn how to do that differently and hopefully more efficiently. And it's an awkward situation because there wasn't going to be a day two or a day three for a little while, for more than a little while at least. And so really I was just hoping to plant a seed that Sam might kind of latch onto, find a little something that might help him in the short term, but then inspire him more than anything else to want to get more time in the future. And fortunately, that's kind of how it worked out.
Hey there, basketball fans. I'm NBA shooting coach Dave Love, and I've got exciting news just for you. Introducing my exclusive free basketball shooting newsletter. It's packed with insights and techniques straight from the hardwood. Have you ever wondered how NBA players improve their shots? Or how you could get to the next level, whether you're a college player, a coach, or a budding youth player? My newsletter brings all this and more directly to your inbox. Each edition is a deep dive into the world of basketball shooting. I'll share some of the tips and ideas that I use with my NBA clients, tailored for every level of the game. But wait, there's more. Subscribers receive exclusive monthly discounts on my online products. From training videos to personalized coaching sessions, you'll get it all for a fraction of the price. And the best part of all, it's absolutely free to join. So what are you waiting for? Elevate your game and join a community of passionate players and coaches from around the globe. Signing up is easy. Just visit CoachDaveLove.com.
Sam, can you identify the habit that Dave immediately locked into and was like, this is the thing you need to work on?
Yeah, the first one I remember, which I still, you know, it's such a hard habit to break. I still struggle as a kind of, got a bit of a hitch. I bring my shot up, then I straighten out my wrist, and then I bring it back again. That was the first thing he saw, and that was the first thing we were trying to fix, just staying under the ball the whole way up.
Classic Dave Love.
I call it shooting the ball twice. That Sam got into a position, then flattened out. This almost started the beginning of the shooting motion, then almost reset to shoot it again. And I remember the first time that you sent me video once I was back home. I was really impressed with how much progress you had made on your own with Paul's help, with just a little bit of guidance. Do you remember at all, like, once you guys were on your own again, what your days kind of looked like in order to start making that change?
Yeah. I mean, it was much like when you came, as a bit of time before practice, I wouldn't go far out. I'd be relatively close to the hoop, and it was just working on that, staying under the ball, moving spots a little bit, trying to change the kind of stimulus. And then, yeah, that for the first couple of weeks, that was kind of all we did. I didn't shoot any three balls, didn't shoot off the move, nothing like that. It was just trying to fix that. And then as we progressed, started to bring it out a little bit.
That's very cool. You actually came all the way to America a year and a half later, so that you have the session, you guys are communicating back and forth, and then a year and a half later, you come to America to work with Dave.
Yeah, well, it worked out really well for me. I was planning on going over and doing some summer league stuff. I had a camp with the Warriors, and one of my college teammates was getting married as well. So I kind of got to tick all these boxes in one trip. And then I had a bit of time before the camp with Golden State. It might have been after, but I had a bit of time, and me and David had been talking. I was planning on going to see him, and then I was like, yep, I'll be there. He's in Vegas this time. I'll come. We'll work that out.
What do you remember of? Because we had spent maybe half an hour together by that time. What do you remember as far as your expectations going into that week? Like, did you have any idea what to expect or what the evolution of those one or two drills might look like?
Not really, to be honest. I kind of had an idea from what we'd been texting and kind of where we would try and work with and work on, but a lot of the stuff we did, I mean, I had no idea what kind of drills you do. We had 20 minutes together, like you said, and then to be honest, I didn't expect myself to. I feel like by the end of that week, we'd started to really fix some stuff and break some habits, and I didn't expect myself to be able to do that quickly.
So you think there's some value in that stretch of time? Like, a week seems like a short period of time to me, but you think there's some value there in that stretch?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, there's stuff we spoke about then that, you know, I'll catch myself now still doing. And then it's like the next shot, I can't do that. And it does become hard. And as you go through the season, you know, we're getting in the back end of the season. I'm playing high minutes. I'm not on court that much for training and practice. You lose some of that. And then when you do get time, you know, it's really locking in and getting back to it. And I've actually been pretty lucky since I've been here in New Plymouth. Our coach's partner, she's an ex-player, and she was a really good shooter. And she was just watching me, and she was like, your feet aren't very square. Like, get your right foot forward, and you kind of bring the ball across. You want to go stay under it. And in my head, I was just like, it's exactly what Dave said. And so, you know, I was lucky to have someone who's been really good at it pick it up and notice it. And that was kind of a really good reset for me. And now, since kind of she said that, I've just had all these, like, oh, yeah, Dave said that. And it's just been, over the last couple of weeks, I think I've had more time to be on court and shooting than I did at the back end of the Aussie NBL season. And I think I'm starting to make those improvements again.
Yeah, Matt, you kind of, you asked about the 1 week, and it, 1 week's not long enough to develop a habit, but it's a great amount of time to learn about the habit and learn how to fix it. And I always tell players at Sam's level that my job is to train you how to not need me, or train you how to be your own shooting coach. And so the goal in day one is really identify what habits we need to work on. And then I want to teach them a couple of drills where they can be highly accountable to that new movement pattern. And then teach them how to adjust the drill so that when they're having a great day and they're ready to make progress, here's how to make the drill more challenging. And when you're having a tough day, here's how to simplify it so that you can get back in the challenge point so that you can grow later on in the future. And Sam, like, you were shooting threes on day three, I feel like it was probably in the middle of then we had like 3 days of like you were out at 3-point range. Is that right? About right?
Yeah. I think it was day three.
Do you remember any of the cues, or let's start with, do you remember, you have alluded to two of them, any other habits that you remember kind of being a focal point?
The swinging the ball across my body, and then I think that really messed with my keeping the wrist straight. And then the square feet one was big for me as well, because that's, I'm turned, and then the natural path of the ball is just going that way. Those were three big ones.
Yeah. Do you remember the cues? And I only remember one of them. So this will be kind of like, how did we talk about any of those things? Well, let's see if you remember the same one that I do.
I remember you telling me to get some words for it, and mine was straight, under, and I had one more. I can't remember what the third one I had was, but that's kind of, I've morphed that. I remember you saying that there was too many, like try and get it into one. So since then I've just gone, it's kind of straight. It has just kind of encapsulated that for me. Square and straight, because when my feet are square, I feel like I do have a much easier job keeping that ball straight.
I feel like there was a point in time where we got it down to like Clay Thompson, which has become an ongoing cue with a lot of different people, that if we want to get a little bit more square, Clay will usually end up being the reference point. And am I remembering correctly? Was that one thing that we said often with you?
Yeah, I remember saying that a little bit.
Was what we did similar to work that you had done with other people on your shooting?
Not a lot. I haven't had someone really break that. Like the stuff I always got before was just shoot it higher. You know, use your legs, and that for me was, I feel like I am. And it was frustrating for me, because I'm like, I feel like I'm doing that, and there was no process as to how to do that correctly. Whereas like the stuff you were giving me, the breakdowns was, oh, so that's how I shoot it high. That's how I use my legs. I don't straighten out my wrists. I stay square.
That was an entire episode of this podcast that we did, was coaches just yelling, use more legs, like, you know. It's like generate more arc, and not really explaining to you how to actually generate more arc, especially again, that flat wrist is such an issue kind of coming through. I can, as you're talking, we talk about this on the pod all the time. Dave will get so granular when talking about habits that I'll have to kind of like put myself in the position to feel what he's talking about. And anyway, so yeah, I can see how that would be hard to generate arc with the flat wrist kind of coming up into that slot.
Well, and I'm so shocked, like, because I don't see other shooting coaches work. So I just kind of naturally assume everybody's doing similar things to what I'm doing. And I talked to a female college player just earlier today who's coming back. She lives in my hometown, and she's coming back home for the summer and wants to get some work. And she said, coaches are telling me what to work on, but then spending no time with me working on it. So they're telling her, like, essentially shoot it better. And then she's asking like, okay, I'm open to that. How? And they're already out the door and giving no guidance on like, how do you go about shooting better? And I can't wrap my brain around how that works as a coach, but apparently it happens a lot.
Yeah, I think it does. But, I mean, part of it when you get to this level as well is just timing, time. You know, the coaches, the assistant coaches and our head coaches just have so much on their plate already. They've got to deal with 12 guys. They've got to do scout, video breakdown every day. It's you know, it's part of that where a guy like you is really valuable is, you know what, we have this time. That's all we focus on. Whereas for some of these other coaches, it's just an extra thing on their plate.
It's one of the things that I don't know if North Americans understand quite as well, because we look at it and guys play in the NBA from, you know, October to May or whatever the season length is. And then they have off season and that's when they add stuff to your game. But for your regular pro around the world, you're always looking for another job in that off season. So for you, you play in the Australian NBL through the, what is our winter, your summer. And then you play in the New Zealand League in your winter, our summer. Like there's no off, like when are you going to have time to work on this? You're logging heavy minutes. You're trying to let your body recover. Like there's just no time.
No. And that's kind of the difficult part. And that's probably what I've found most challenging is the time I did get last off season really helped. And then as we progress through the season, you know, just naturally, I don't get as much time on court. It drops off. And then I use this time here where, you know, we're not playing as much as we did in the Aussie NBL season here. And it's a slightly lower level league. So I can afford to do more off the court. And this is where I kind of build back up. But you're right, there's no break. And I actually have to leave this season for, I've been lucky enough to be selected in the Olympic squad. I've got to leave for camp in a month. And if hopefully make that team. And if I end up going to the Olympics, you know, that's just another month of basketball that I've got no break. So it's challenging, but it's, I wouldn't have it any other way. Like I love this stuff and it's fun.
Hey there, basketball fans. Coach Dave Love here with an exciting opportunity to revolutionize your shooting game. Introducing my exclusive shot development systems, Pure Release, Consistency and Balance, and Fluidity and Arc. Each system is designed to target key aspects of your shooting technique, transforming you into a more effective player on the court. Pure Release focuses on perfecting your shot release. Consistency and Balance enhances your stability and accuracy, and Fluidity and Arc works on your ball path and trajectory of your shot. Find out the drills and progressions that I use with my NBA players to improve these important habits. Can't decide which one to choose? No worries, grab the bundle and get all three systems at a fantastic value. It's a complete package to elevate every part of your shooting game. And there's a special deal for all my podcast listeners. Use the promo code PODCAST20 at checkout to save 20% on any of the shot development systems. Don't miss this chance to train like the pros. Visit CoachDaveLove.com/store and take your first step towards shooting success. That's CoachDaveLove.com/store.
Sam, can you explain to, because it's different in every country, as you probably know better than I do. Can you explain to the listeners how much the Olympics means to Australian basketball players?
It is probably, I mean, it's one of the coolest things in the world, and it's been a dream. Part of the reason I chose basketball over Australian rules football is because I wanted to go to an Olympics. It's been a dream of mine for so long, and I think just the level, the guys that have been in there now, the Patty Mills and Joe Ingles, the guys who really drove that culture, Bogues, Aaron Baines, Matthew Dellavedova, over the last decade, they're the ones I watched growing up, and they got it from the guys who played in Olympics before them. Just watching their passion and their love for it. You know, I don't know if how much you guys follow Patty Mills, but he lives it, breathes it. Like this, that's everything for him. And that I watched that from afar, and I'm like, man, I really want to be a part of that. And then to get the opportunity to be in the squad and go to a camp where these guys are and get to see that culture. And I was lucky enough through the World Cup camp last year. That experience for me is just like, this is the coolest thing in the world. And you know, that pride and the passion they have, it's something that I think everyone wants to be a part of, at least in Australia, and I would love to get there.
Yeah, it's one of my career goals, and I'm unfortunately starting to recognize that my skill set as a coach doesn't fit that environment. Like, the average federation or national team isn't together long enough for someone like me to make an impact. Like, it's just not a good fit. And so I'm realizing my dream to be an Olympic coach, go to the Olympics as a coach, might not happen. And so I'm living vicariously through yourself. And I've got, I don't know if you know Annalie Malley, with the women's team. She just qualified in the 3x3. So excited for her. And then I think she's going to the 5-on-5 trial or selections here in the next week or so. And so I've got my fingers crossed for both of you.
Somewhere my wife just got goosebumps. She is obsessed with the Olympics. And so once every 4 years becomes, you know, a big pole vaulting critic. And last summer when the FIBA World Championships were on, she was like, what is this? What are we watching? And I was like, well, it's almost like the Olympics, but just not quite as good. And she got really into it because of that. And so she's going to be listening to this podcast and going to be like, it's going to blow her mind because you are living her dream. Just it's a very cool thing, especially in Aussie basketball where that is the pinnacle. But just in general, like, that is a very cool thing, Sam.
No, it isn't.
Sam, what's the next series of goals in your career?
I'm going into my last contract year in the NBL with the Hawks. Have a really good year in the NBL, and part of where I want to get to, I mean, I've always wanted to be an NBA player as well, and that's a goal that's always on my mind. And I think, you know, a lot of the feedback I've gotten is about my shot and consistency, and it's part of why we wanted to work with you. I think a lot of areas of my game are already at that level, and it's the feedback I've got is my shot's been holding me back. So that's kind of the big goal, and why I've really enjoyed working with you is that seeing that part of my game progress and seeing each of these things inch a little closer every time. That'd be really cool.
Yeah, and for the listeners who may not know Sam, like, Sam's one of the handful of people that are just right on the cusp of making that jump, which is exceptionally hard to do. Like, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a player where you feel like you're that close to your ultimate goal, and yet it's that getting that close is still one massive hurdle. And anything I can do to continue to help you, just know that I'm excited and happy to do that.
Sam, my frame of reference here, I played with a guy my second year pro who was the MVP of our league in Canada. He averaged 25 a game as like a slightly undersized wing, like 6'4", but like full bag, you know, the whole get a bucket, you know, not quite Kyrie, but that sort of frame. And I had to try to defend him every day in practice. And some days I slowed him down a little, but mostly he lit me up every day. So best player I ever played against every single day. And he had a cup of coffee with the Nuggets in preseason. And he was the second last cut, which, you know, is very tough. But also, like, my frame of reference for how good that you have to be. And, like, you are playing in one of the best leagues in the entire world. And, like, this close, you know. Man, listen, I'm going to be rooting for you. This is really exciting. So cool to have a rooting interest. I'm really excited about that.
Sam, can I put you on a spot before we let you go here?
Yeah.
If somebody comes to you, and I don't do the nice guy commercial, but like, what would you honestly say if one of your teammates said, hey, like, I'm thinking about going over to spend a week with Dave. What could I expect? How would you describe that potential week from your perspective?
I mean, without, I don't know, you've told me not to do the nice guy thing, but all I have is compliments. I tell them expect a lot of thinking, a lot of like concentration stuff, just to break habits, if that's what it is, because it can seem like the simplest thing, but you know, in your head, you've got to, you know, I can't. The part of the problem I have is I'm thinking, oh, I can't do this that I used to do, which I think you try and get guys away from thinking too much about. It's just simple. That's part of your one word cues. It's human nature. That's part of it. I tell them to expect a challenge there. That's part of the fun stuff of getting better, but I tell them expect a guy who's really committed to getting you better and he's fully in for whatever sessions that they can get in that week. And yeah, I'd just say expect to get better.
And hopefully expect to spend, we may have only done this once, expect to go to Chipotle.
Yeah. I think we went twice.
Did we go to, okay, you know, feel better.
Yeah. You know what? And expect a real nice guy, because I remember I rocked up after our last session. I went to the hotel in Vegas and I didn't have my physical card on me and they needed a deposit for the room. And I was like, I've got cash, I can give you that. They're like, no, we need the card deposit. And David already left. He dropped me off. I had to call him and be like, hey, man, I'm in kind of a bit of a pickle here. He'd come through and he was like, yep, I'm on my way back. He was straight back. He used his own money as a deposit for the card. And that was, I mean, that's the kind of guy that he is. He just, no questions asked, just came over and helped me. And I didn't trash that room, I don't think, so you should have got your deposit back.
I didn't notice a bill, so yeah. Thank you for not doing that. But no, that was easy. That was the easiest favor that I could have done, because I was on my way past to do another favor for my mentor, and so yeah, that was a piece of cake, and happy to do it. But
Sam, was
funny,
that
the
your...
things that we remember.
Was that your first trip to America, Sam? You ever been before?
Yeah, I've been a couple. We went on a family holiday a long time ago, and then I did Adidas Nations, and then I went to Creighton for a year. So.
Oh, Creighton, yeah, sorry, that's dumb. Yeah. I apologize.
Sam, I appreciate your time. This has been awesome to reconnect again. Where can people kind of find you and connect with you or follow you? Where if we're sending people your direction, where should we send them?
My Instagram's probably the easiest one. Just Sam, I think it's just Sam Froling. It's where I'm most active. None of the other socials I'm too active on. If that's where people want my life updates.
I'm going to drive the dozens of people to the YouTube highlight mixtape, because that's what I'm going to track down immediately once we hang up here.
There's a recent one they posted, a few of my posters where I was feeling a bit, you know, I said I'm not the most athletic, but I've still got a few in there.
I like it. I like it a lot. This has been awesome. Sam, really appreciate your time. Super nice to meet you. Really, really appreciate you.
Yeah, nice to meet you as well. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Coach Dave Love Podcast. To stay up to date with our future episodes, please remember to hit the subscribe button on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to sign up for Coach Love's free shooting newsletter on CoachDaveLove.com, and be sure to follow him on social media. You can find him at Coach Dave Love.